fallen people. You asked us to offer you blood sacrifices of the Lamb for the forgiveness of our sins. But the lambs that we brought to the altar were not enough to restore. They weren't enough to cleanse. They weren't enough to reconcile our relationship with you, our Creator, our Father. And it was then that you sent your Son, who is the true Lamb of God, whose blood was shed for us, the only Lamb whose blood was able to forgive, to cleanse, the only Lamb whose blood was able to restore, reconcile, and make new our relationship with you, O Father. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for your sacrifice, dear Jesus. Thank you for leaving the Spirit here who empowers us to live a restored relationship with God and to live an anointed life, a life free from sin, free from condemnation, and free from the pits of hell. Lord, in this season of Lent, we remember your journey to the cross. Help us, Holy Spirit, as we make our own journey to the cross. Help us to deny of ourselves. Help us to take up our own cross and die to ourselves so we can effectively be the body of Jesus Christ here on earth. Jesus, we ask that you may take this hour and transform us. Take Joe Castillo, anoint him, and use him to be you here at McKenna Chapel this morning. And as we renounce of ourselves, we open our hearts to listen your voice. It is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Wow, how exciting it is to be back at Asbury. And I appreciate y'all sharing a portion of your day. There's some seats down here if y'all want to come in and sit down. Come on, don't be bashful. It's more enjoyable if you watch it sitting down. Thank you, Marilyn, for that introduction. I'd like you to go on the road with me and do those introductions. Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's easier said than done, isn't it? I read a little story about a girl that was in Sunday school class, a little girl, and she was asked to recite the Lord's Prayer. And when she got to the part about forgiveness, she said, Father, forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. Now, you know, we're real eager to be forgiven for the trash that we put in other people's baskets. But we're not so quick to forgive those who put trash in our baskets. That's a little more difficult. I'd like to say a few words this morning about forgiveness. And the value that it has in our lives. Because you see, forgiveness properly understood can give you freedom and it can give you great joy. And this is something that God desires for us. He wants it desperately. He wants us to be free and joyful. And perhaps this morning you might be struggling with some things that are preventing you from feeling forgiven. Or maybe they're preventing you from forgiving somebody else. Now, before I go any further, I have to tell you a little bit about myself. I did graduate from Asbury, but before that, I had a career in art. You can tell I'm an artist because I get to wear this cool little French hat. But actually, I'm required to wear it by OSHA. No, it's true, there's high risk of eye damage, particularly those of you in the front row with the light reflecting off my bald head, and so so I have to wear it. But, you know, when people introduce me as an artist, I have to tell them, well, it's true, but it's not my fault. My mother was an artist. My father was an artist. My aunt is a famous artist down in Key West. I even had an uncle named Artie. What choice did I have? My mom said that my first solid food was Crayola crayons. And like all artists, my masterpieces were not appreciated. My mom made me scrub it off the wall in the living room. But you got to live with that. When I went to art school, there were two factions. There were the fine artists, and they're the ones that said, we want people to pay us for what springs from our souls. And then there were those of us that were the commercial artists, and we were the ones that said, we want to pay the rent. And you know, I had no intention of doing any Christian artwork. I was pretty realistic about my abilities, and I knew that, or I felt anyway, that all the great Christian artwork had already been done. I mean, who was I to compete with Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci and Donatello and Raphael? And I know you're probably impressed with my knowledge of art history, but I remember those names because they just happened to be the four Ninja Turtles. But you know, I got out of art school and I went into commercial art with no intention at all of doing Christian artwork. And one day a Christian pastor friend of mine was having a Christmas program and he said, Joe, I'd like you to do a chalk talk. And I'd seen chalk talks, but you have to have chalks and you have to have an easel and lights and this whole setup. And so I said, John, you know, I just can't do a chalk talk. And he got in my face. And he said, Joe, you're a Christian. You're an artist. Do something. So I said, okay. I sort of felt like Moses, you know. Well, what do I have in my hand? And I went back to my studio and I looked around and I had rolls of newsprint and I had magic markers. So I did a magic marker talk. And you know, that was the beginning of God convincing me that he could use my gift. Now, I'm a slow learner, and so it took me 25 years to be able to figure it out. But in the process, God had to do some refining. Because that very first drawing that I did, a drawing of the face of Christ, was then taken by a guy that I was doing work for. He was making these little simulated marble plaques, and he said, Joe, do you have any Christian artwork? I'm thinking of starting a religious line. And I said, sure, I have this one drawing that I did. He took it and looked at it and said, well, I don't think it'll sell, but let me try it, and if it sells well, I'll give you royalties. And I said, okay, fine, and promptly forgot about it. Well, that summer, my wife, Mary, was diagnosed with breast cancer, and we didn't have any insurance, and all of a sudden, my successful advertising business was plunged into red ink, and I was struggling to make ends meet and pay hospital bills. And that following Christmas, a year later, I took my kids, and I'd already told them, kids, this is going to be a tight year, so don't expect anything. And we decided to go down to the mall and just look at the lights. We certainly weren't spending any money. And we walked in the front door, Westtown Mall in Knoxville, and there right inside the entrance was a huge display of plaques, and they all had my drawing of the face of Christ on it. I thought, wow, how cool is that? And then we went a little further and we turned, went into Sears, and here was another whole display covered with them. And then I started to get excited, and we went into JCPenney's, and there was another one. We went into the Christian bookstore, and they had a whole wall of them. And I said, great. And I turned to my kids and I said, see, kids, God is faithful. This is the way he's going to provide for us. And so Monday morning, I picked up the phone and called my buddy, and I said, hey, man, I've seen this plaque all over the place. And he got so excited, he could barely talk. He was saying, Joe, it's selling so fast, it's just flying out the door. We can't keep up with the demand. And I said, tremendous. I said, can you give me just a rough idea of how much that might translate into in the way of royalties? And there was this kind of pregnant silence on the phone. And he said, well, I don't know. We're putting it on computer. We really don't know how many we've sold. I'll get back to you. Well, Tuesday, there was no call. Wednesday, there was no call. And so Thursday, I finally called him again, and then he wouldn't take my calls. So Friday, I went down to his office, and he made me wait quite a while. And when he finally let me in, he real proudly showed me that he'd taken my artwork down and he'd copyrighted it. And I said, well, what about the royalties? And he said, Joe, I don't remember saying anything about royalties. My stomach just sort of slid down into the pit, and I didn't know what to say. And so I remember walking out, a cold winter day, a couple days before Christmas, just feeling like my whole world had disintegrated. And I was angry. And I thought about it for a while, and then I realized that the Lord brought a scripture to mind, and it was a scripture in 2 Corinthians. It says that we're not supposed to take a brother to court. And this man had proclaimed his Christianity. We had talked about our churches and various Christian activities. And so I said, okay, God, I'm not going to sue him. Now, I could have. I very easily could have sued him and taken him to court and won. But I thought I was going to do the right thing, and I let it go. Or at least I thought I did. Well, the months turned into years, and it was kind of hard to forget about it because almost everywhere I went, I saw this artwork. And friends of mine started calling me from Florida and California and saying, Joe, I saw your artwork in the Christian bookstore. Man, that's so exciting. And every time, all I would feel is just this painful twist in my gut, and it was like bile pumping into my system. And finally, the time came when my wife lost her battle with cancer. And the Lord took her home. Well, it wasn't too long after that that I began to realize that that not only had I not forgiven him, but the bitterness was beginning to creep into every aspect of my life. It was just starting to affect my relationships and my attitude and my feeling about life altogether. The issue for me was the money. Because here I thought, you know, this guy had made all this money, and I got none of it. But you see, the issue for God was control. The issue for God was something totally different. And the Lord begins bringing scriptures to mind. And the parable that Christ told at Simon's house about the man who had been forgiven much. And God began to expose the sin in my own life and how he had forgiven me in Christ. And finally, one night, God and I had a knockdown dragout. It was one of those all-night sessions. And somewhere in the wee small hours of the morning, I finally let it go. I said, okay, God, I understand now. The money's yours. The artwork is yours. The gift is yours. My wife was yours. Life and death is yours. It's all yours. You can have it. I just want the peace and the freedom that you give and the forgiveness. Now, here's what happened next. That very next Sunday, I was at a Christian gathering and somebody introduced me to a woman, and she heard my name and said, Joe Castillo, you did that drawing of the face of Christ. And I said, yes. And for the first time in almost 12 years, I didn't feel the twisting in my gut. And I said, yeah, that's me. She said, let me tell you a story. She said, about 3 weeks ago, I have a Christian bookstore in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And about 3 weeks ago, a woman came in and she said, I have a whole wall of these plaques with your drawing on it. And the woman walked over and saw one of the plaques and was interested in it. And she said, all of a sudden, I noticed that tears were running down her face. And it took her a while, but she got her composure and then took one of the plaques and walked up to the counter and she said, I'd like to buy this. And the woman said, well, I don't mean to intrude, but she said, I noticed that you were weeping. And the woman said, oh. She said, oh, yeah. She said, I've been running away from Christ for years. And somehow seeing that drawing has convicted me about getting my life right with him. And I thought, that is my reward. But you know, that was just the beginning of it. Then I started getting phone calls from people around the country that had seen my artwork and somehow tracked me down and wanted to tell me. One of the most amazing ones was a phone call I got from West Virginia. The man on the phone said, are you Joe Castillo? And I said, yes. He said, are you the one that did the drawing of the face of Christ? Well, now I'm starting to get excited. I said, yeah, that's me. He said, let me tell you what happened. He said, about 3 months ago, I got fired. And on my way home, I stopped at the bar and I got drunk. By the time I got to the house, I was so angry that I just started smashing everything in the living room, throwing things against the wall, and my wife and my daughter were hiding under the bed. And he said, finally, I went over to the mantelpiece, and here was this little oval plaque. And he said, I picked it up, and I was just getting ready to throw it against the wall, and all of a sudden, I noticed the details in it. I'd never seen them before. And somehow, God used that to grip my heart, and he said, I flopped down on the couch and I started weeping, and my wife comes crawling out from under the bed and says, what happened? And he said, well, have you ever seen the details in this drawing? And she said, sure. That's why I bought it. They'd had it for 8 years and he'd never noticed the details in the drawing. And the wife got a chance to share the gospel with him and he came to know the Lord. And this couple drove down from West Virginia and sat in my studio and all of us cried as they told me their story. And then story after story started coming in. The man that made the plaques 3 years ago went bankrupt. I got a call from the auction company that was going to auction off the rights to my artwork. And guess who shows up at the auction? And I got a chance to buy back the rights to my own artwork at that auction. And it reminded me of the story of the little boy that is told in Sunday school that had made this little sailboat and he put it on the river and he was playing with it and the boat got away from him. And a couple of weeks later, he sees it in the store window. And he goes rushing in. He says, mister, that's my boat. The man says, well, it might be your boat, but you have to buy it. So he goes out and does chores and mows lawns and earns the money and comes in and he buys the little boat. And as he walks out of the door, he says, little boat, now you're twice mine. First I made you, and then I bought you. You know, you might be here this morning, and you might be struggling with some anger, some bitterness, some resentment, something that has come between you and the God that loves you. And what I would plead with you is that you would let it go. Let it go. Feel first his forgiveness and then forgive those that may have hurt you, those that may have damaged you. One of the quotes that really impacted me was the quote, it said, bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for your enemy to die. That is so true. It doesn't do us any good and it doesn't do them any harm. But here's the real clincher. Is it the greatest betrayal in all the world? The greatest betrayal in all of history was committed on the most innocent of all. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was lied about, who was betrayed, who was sold out by his friends, who was identified with a kiss, and then beaten and scourged and crucified. And he did it so that we could be free. So that we could have the power to not only know his forgiveness, but to be able to forgive others. And you know, your anger, your bitterness may not be against a person. It may be an event or an institution or a group of people. And God wants you to let it go. God's given me the privilege of doing artwork. And for 15 years now, I've had the thrill of seeing him bless my artwork. I'm convinced that if I hadn't forgiven, I never would have seen his blessing. And I've gotten a chance to do something new that I called Sand Story. God brought it to me and gave me the privilege of doing. And the images that you see this morning, I pray that they will impact your life and remind you that because of his forgiveness, you can be forgiven, you can forgive others, and you can enjoy the freedom and the joy that only God gives. The Passion of the Christ, to the music of Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ.